On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette helps us prepare for the high school football season, which begins this week. We'll cover a scrimmage from last week, this year's all-Northeast Indiana team, and preview some key matchups for week one. I'll close with notes on the Colts, the Fever, baseball, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson is with us to help us get started as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We are ready for some local football. Friday Night Lights begin this week. Before the season starts, you got to catch a scrimmage last week between Adams Central and Bishop Dwenger. What did you take away from that?
It was a little bit of a milestone. This was the first time that Adams Central ever played football within Fort Wayne city limits, I was told by Coach Michael Moser. That's pretty interesting. But when you think about it, they were a 1A team for a very long time. They're now the defending 2A state champions. So one of the strongest small school programs in this corner of the state or anywhere in the state. So it was a great opportunity for them to play Bishop Dwenger. That's a 4A school. Bishop Dwenger over the years has made a real point of scheduling really, really tough games against, again, really, really big challenging programs across Indiana and even Ohio. So it was kind of an interesting mix. One of the rare times that Bishop Dwenger is going to be playing a team that is a classifications lower than it in terms of enrollment, except for, of course, when they play rival Bishop Lures. But it just kind of was a win-win. The Jets get to see a 4A team. They only have one 4A team on their schedule, and that is not an SAC team. And Bishop Dwenger, they're like, we get to play a team that is coming off a state championship. Talented, disciplined, and, you know, schematically is not going to be the same sort of thing that you're going to see from some of our larger Fort Wayne schools, you know, in the SAC or in the NEA. And so they said, you know, this might be something that we might see somewhere along the way in 4A, depending on how the draws work out. Honestly, it was pretty interesting to see. I think Adams Central really held their own and were competitive against a school that has a much, much larger enrollment, Bishop Dwenger. We got to see a couple of offensive highlights from them, and the drop-off was really noticeable once you get to the second string, and you're starting to notice a really, really big difference in size by the time you get to the second and third string at the end of the evening. But otherwise, it was really fun, and it was a really good way to whet our appetites for week one coming up here.
We also saw the reveal of the all-Northeast Indiana football team for 2025. What were some standouts from that?
The biggest recruit in our area this year in terms of the recruiting rankings is obviously Jaquaden Guilford. He is a wide receiver from Northrop who over the summer committed to Ohio State. As he pointed out, that is wide receiver U. That is pretty much the best of the best in recent years at that position. Obviously really exciting, and this is going to be a really intriguing year because on the one hand, Northrop has really struggled record-wise in the past couple years, but obviously this is one of the top football players in the state, and it's not just him. The Bruins have an entire class of seniors this year who have been together for a long time. They've got a couple of exciting transfers, so it is really interesting to see, like, will this be the group at Northrop that makes the jump, getting from a winner to a year, which is what's happened over the past couple of years, to maybe, you know, four or five, maybe making some noise in the SAC. So that'll be really interesting. The other thing that was really challenging for me this year, putting together all Northeast Indiana, was that we have an awful lot of quarterbacks, especially at some of our smaller schools. You know, are they going to be the biggest recruit at that position? No, but they are just so essential to their team in every aspect of the game. So I'm thinking of like East Noble's Riley Biddle, who took East Noble to the Class 4A state finals last year. Jameson Roach of Adams Central, who did the same thing as a sophomore. You don't want to cheat them out of it just because of they have so many different areas where they contribute.
So the games begin this week. Stakes aren't terribly high yet, but are there any matchups that listeners should keep an eye on?
Yes, it is interesting because now that the SAC has gone to a 7-game format instead of the 9-game format where you would play every team in the conference, these are not conference games for the first 2 weeks of the season, and that is true for our other area teams as well. And because of the way that the Indiana playoff system works, everybody goes into the playoffs. So it's not a matter of having to build up enough wins to get us into the sectional draw. So that means that these first couple weeks are for pride and for seeing where everybody is. So the games that we'll really be watching closely this weekend are Warsaw at Snyder. Again, these are two teams that we have seen in the state finals very recently. Really exciting because I personally don't get a whole lot of chances to see Warsaw here in Fort Wayne unless it's sometimes in the postseason. And so that'll be a really great way to see one of our Northern Lakes Conference teams playing against Snyder, which of course, one of the SAC powers. Bishop Lohr's and Leo. So Bishop Lohr's, year in and year out, they tend to really come on strong as the season winds to an end. And it's interesting to see Leo a little bit in flux this year. I know there's been a lot of changes from a lot of players lost from last year's roster. So I'm really just excited to see how they've reloaded and just really excited to see both these teams and what they have in store this year.
Football isn't the only thing going on right now. You recently did a profile on Carroll sophomore Kella Hafner. What's she been up to this summer?
She has been working in the Team USA development system for a little bit now, so it's not a fast process. She's been going to some development camps, and from there, you can be invited to tryouts for the Team USA teams that might be put together. Last fall, she was selected for the U19 team that went to the Pan American Cup up in Ontario this summer. She and the U.S. U19 team competed against a bunch of the other teams from North America, so Mexico, Puerto Rico, Canada, for example. They came away undefeated. And so, yeah, Kella Hafner is a gold medalist for the United States. And she talked about just what a fun experience that was. And notably, she plays with talented players. She won a state championship with Carroll last fall here in Indiana. And then she plays for Team Pineapple. There are talented players there too. Just some remarkable size that she gets to play with. You know, there are an entire roster full of players who are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and she just says that it is such a different experience to kind of have that comfort that you have teammates who can get up there no matter what. So a really interesting experience and the sort of thing that most rising high school sophomores don't really get to experience.
Victoria Jacobson covering football in the entire range of high school sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thanks as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
With this show being so football heavy, I'll start with Daniel Jones being named the Colts starting quarterback for week one. I personally like the move. I have nothing against Anthony Richardson. I think his skill set is great. This is more about the way we've seen guys succeed after they got away from the New York Giants in recent years, most notably Saquon Barkley. He's not terribly far removed from a great season that earned him his big contract. I think he got a raw deal from the Giants. I don't think talent thrives there right now. I want to see him silence the doubters. You can throw this onto the freezing cold takes page if it doesn't work out. They're in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals for the final preseason game of the year Sunday at 1. The NFL season opens Thursday, September 4th. Daniel Jones and the Colts will kick off against the Dolphins on September 7th at Lucas Oil Stadium. In college ball, number 6 Notre Dame has named CJ Carr the starting quarterback for the season. He'll have a tough task ahead of him in his first start, which will be against the number 10 Hurricanes in Miami. That's a 7:30 game on Sunday, August 31st. The roster depth situation is only getting worse for the Indiana Fever. After a tough injury against the Connecticut Sun last week, it looks like Sophie Cunningham will be out for the rest of the season. That's not good news for a Fever team that's still in the playoff race, but also feels like they're treading water as the season winds down. They're still third in the East, 3 games behind a tie for first and 3 games ahead of the Washington Mystics. That's good enough for 6th overall in the WNBA, but the Valkyries and Storm are knocking at the door right behind them. They're in the middle of a long layoff that ends Friday with a home game against the Minnesota Lynx at 7:30. Both teams will trade places Sunday with a 7 o'clock tip-off in Minneapolis. Then it's back to Gainbridge Fieldhouse next Tuesday for a matchup against the Seattle Storm, which also starts at 7. In other Indiana Hoops news, Rick Carlisle has just been granted an extension as the head coach of the Pacers. "Love this move. I've been a Carlisle guy since he was in Dallas. I think he was the secret sauce for the team's finals run last year, and despite losing Halliburton to injury and Miles Turner in free agency, he's the kind of coach who can help this roster sneak back into the playoffs this season, where anything can happen." The Pacers season begins at home Thursday, October 23rd, with a finals rematch against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's been a rough go for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps since the trade deadline. They're mostly out of the playoff hunt and are 3-9 in their last two series against the South Bend Cubs and the West Michigan Whitecaps. Not much action left on the year. They're in Lake County right now, and they'll return home for their final series of the year at Parkview Field next week against the Dayton Dragons. They'll conclude the season in the first week of September on the road against the Whitecaps. In the pros, the Western divisions are the races to watch at this point. Just a few games separate the Padres and Dodgers, while the Mariners trail the Astros by one game. The National League wildcard standings seem mostly set, though the Reds are hoping to seize on the Mets' current collapse and they only trail the running by one game. The American League is a bit tighter, with the Yankees and Red Sox occupying the top spots and the second place team in the West holding on to the third. But the Royals and Guardians are lurking in the bubble by just 2 and 3 games respectively. We're also less than 2 months away from the start of NHL as well as Fort Wayne Comets hockey. The best times of the year in sports are March and the fall, and we're right on the verge of one of them. Cannot wait. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.